refrigerator is kind of loud. Is our refrigerator running?
Yes.
It's probably because I have 10-pound balls.
What?
That's a popular. It's a phone prank.
I know. Is your refrigerator running?
No,
yes.
But the 10-pound balls one is.
Catch it. I've never heard that.
Hold on for just a second. So, welcome to another episode of Prefer Not To. Sometime cocktail hour.
Always. Cocktail hour.
With your hosts, Kate and Josh.
Hello.
I am not Kate. Wherein we enjoy a cocktail, talk about various things on our mind, hopefully to your edification and entertainment. This week, our cocktail is the Sea Breeze, which has already been manufactured for us by Kate. So I will let her give you a few details and explain the appeal of the Sea Breeze in as much as she knows it.
We decided to try something summery this week. So we decided something that would be very fruity and full of either gin, rum, or vodka. So we chose the Sea Breeze, mostly because it sounded delicious when I read the description, and because it's also part of a larger drink family that I'm fond of, including the Bay Breeze, the Greyhound, and the Salty Dog, which are all just variations on the same recipe, which is two parts grapefruit juice, one part cranberry juice, and one part vodka of one's choosing.
Okay. So it's a refreshing summer break. I actually have had Sea Breezes before on a particular bender with my sister once, but...
I believe I've had the Cape Cod or the Cape Codder, which is just cranberry juice and vodka, which who hasn't?
Sure. And it is summer, so a lovely, refreshing summer beverage. Indeed.
Meaning it's the first week of summer, therefore we decided to go for a quote-unquote summer cocktail.
Exactly. So, as we were discussing at the top of the show,
yes.
I was explaining a classic telephone prank to you. I said, is your refrigerator running one? And you got that one. And then there's what you call up it's like one of the trifecta of classic phone pranks.
Okay.
There's is your refrigerator running? Mm-hmm. You call up the tobacco shop and ask if they have Prince Albert in a can.
Right.
Which is a classic, although there are no tobacco shops and nobody buys loose tobacco anymore.
Nobody buys Prince Albert, right. Yeah.
That's as likely to be some sort of disturbing sex act. It is something sex, isn't it?
It is, a Prince Albert is a piercing.
Oh, I know what it is. I don't want to hear it. I know what it is.
Okay.
Come on. Which, by the way, if that was in a can, it'd be a whole other mess. But then the third one is you call up the bowling alley, and you ask, do you have 10-pound balls? And when they say yes, you say, then how do you walk?
I've never heard of that one.
It's a classic. And that's, by the way, one of the only ones, because, you know, people aren't going to have refrigerators. Because, let me tell you, in 20 years, nobody's going to actually cook in their houses anymore.
They all food pellets.
Well, think about it. Like, how often do, like, people who aren't poor like us, how often do they actually cook in their houses?
I don't know.
I don't think people cook in, like, with dual-income households.
Growing up, when my family had dual income, and we were rich, sort of, in the upper middle class way, you're right, we never cooked.
Yeah. My mom would cook, but it was like an occasion.
Yeah, it was probably, like, once a week.
Right. When I was younger, she would cook a lot. When we were poorer.
Mm.
So, but, you know, when they were working more, I was the classic latchkey kid. My parents wouldn't be home till 6 or 7 a lot of days.
Yeah, mine too.
So there'd be something in the fridge. Or mom would, like, cook something, but it would be something really quick.
Spaghetti.
Or she'd have something in the fridge. So, yeah, 20 years, nobody's going to have kitchens in their houses, so they won't be able to do, is your refrigerator running? Can't do the Prince Albert thing anymore because people think it's a body modification.
And people don't smoke anymore.
Right. So the only one that will be left. Who would have thought that bowling would outlast those other two?
Except bowling has technically been in step with refrigerators because they're not out yet, so.
Yeah, but refrigerators will be gone before bowling. Do you think bowling will be gone before refrigerators?
Maybe.
I don't think people have refrigerators in their houses. It seems hugely inefficient.
Are you kidding me? Everyone has a refrigerator in
right,
their house.
Right, but like in 50 years, do you think everybody will have a refrigerator? I think we'll have, you know, it'll be... you'll buy a bunch of non-perishable food that, for whatever reason, like with science and stuff. I'm going back to the 50s now, aren't I? This is like 50s space food stuff.
What do you do with like your milk and your ice?
It'll be some sort of delicious condensed or canned milk.
Ice is going to be condensed?
Yeah, ice is a problem. You need ice.
Maybe they'll reduce in size, but obviously refrigerators will still be around.
The only reason that I say this is because, you know, hotels... Right. And like public schools, they used to make food on site and they don't do that anymore because they have like Sysco or Aramark or these big industrial food companies that just truck a bunch of refrigerated food out to these sites from one giant, massive kitchen. And in big school districts, they actually, some of them run their own giant, massive kitchen and then send the food out. So at some point, you know, we basically, McDonald's is kind of like the giant, massive kitchen for America anyway. I mean, how many people have breakfast in their own home anymore?
Well, I don't really eat breakfast.
That's bad. You should eat breakfast.
If I did, it would be something quickly out the door, like granola or yogurt.
Right. Or right. Exactly. Like a pellet. You'd be, you're already eating a pellet.
Okay, except there's a difference between swallowing a pellet and eating a thing of yogurt.
Right, because pellets don't taste good. We could do pellets now, but they'd be revolting.
Do you know how crazy you sound right now?
I know. So how's the sea breeze?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, it's okay. When I've had them, they've been more cranberry-ish. I don't. I think. Did you? You know what I bet it is? I bet you use cranberry juice cocktail instead of cranberry juice.
No, I use cranberry juice.
Okay. Is it grapefruit juice cocktail or grapefruit juice?
Grapefruit juice.
Okay.
I might have messed up the portions. It might be 2 cranberry to 1 grapefruit.
I think it is. Oh yeah, it is. It's definitely more cranberry than it is grapefruit. Well, but this is delicious.
That explains that.
It's a grapefruit.
We've invented a new cocktail.
No, I don't think. I think we just messed up an old one. But it's still delicious and refreshing. Oh, right. Oh, I should get to that. Okay, so I got 2 things to talk about, 2 housekeeping viewer commenty type things. The first is from Mary. Thank you, Mary, for listening, who told us that I should insult myself less, like once an episode. So apparently that's the one time that I get. And I should talk more about books and movies and TV, which we will endeavor to do. And then the other one we had from, I got to pull the guy up. It was a fellow on our website, and you'll be able to, if you go to the website and you see the content, he was talking about our discussion of feederism.
PNTcast.wordpress.com.
Right. And he was, it was our first episode, and he thought we were being unfair to the feederist community.
Because
he said that they were fully aware of the power dynamic issues and all the things that we talked about.
How did they find us?
I don't, I think I tagged it.
Feederism. You tagged a post as feederism on WordPress?
Got us. Anyhow, thank you, man, for listening, and I appreciate your contribution. I still think it's kind of creepy, but I appreciate your listening, and you were very polite, and you seem like a nice guy, so I can only hope that that is an accurate assessment. Mazel tov, thank you for listening. The rest of you are welcome to contribute. You can get us at pntcast@gmail.com or pntcast.wordpress.com or on the Twitter as @pntcast. It's consistent that way. There you go. So again, we thank you for all your comments and your interest. It's very nice. So how's the sea breeze?
I can see what you mean about the messed up proportions. I'd also go with some kind of sparkle in it, some kind of fizz.
Soda water would be nice. Laura's having hers with soda water. How's yours? Is that what it is? A sea mist with... Oh, that's very crafty of you because it has Sierra Mist in it. It's a sea mist. Maybe there's already one out there or you invented it. Copyright that now.
I do think that this cocktail would taste better if it had a little funny umbrella in it.
Yeah.
Punch it up like 10%.
Yeah, that'd be good. Cranberry juice. People take... cranberry juice is good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I can't stop thinking of the Mad Men this season.
Okay.
Because they were doing the Ocean Spray campaign.
That's actually very funny because of my research for this week's podcast. There was apparently an anti-cranberry lobby in the 1970s. That claimed that cranberries were had toxic chemicals on them, and that if you drank juice, like, you would absorb the chemicals. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a smear campaign against cranberries.
That's entirely true. It's very good for you.
So the sea breeze, for instance, took a plummet in the 70s because people didn't want anything to do with cranberry juice.
So that's why Don Draper is on it. Do they talk anything about it this season? By the way, for those of you listening in the future, the season 6 of the Mad Men finished this week, so we may be talking a little bit about that. But no, it's very good for you. What'd you think of this season?
The season of Mad Men?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I didn't watch Mad Men before I was friends with Kate. One of the many things that Kate has brought into my life.
Did I really introduce you to that?
You did. I had watched the pilot, and for some reason it didn't stick with me. And then I didn't have cable and was lazy, so I didn't download them illegally on the internet. And then...
Well, to be fair, Netflix put up, like, what, the first 4 seasons?
Right.
All at once?
Right before season 5 started.
So it's hard to not just kind of... I mean, if you have Mad Men in a stream, you can just keep going and keep watching.
It's very bingeable, although it's very dense. It's like cheesecake. It's like the cheesecake of tummy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll eat an episode and it just sits on your tummy. You
know? Wow. Okay.
I think, like, I'm trying to think of shows that are like that. Like, that's the one that I think is most like that. I guess The Sopranos was kind of close to that the episodes were very dense and had a lot in them.
Well, even if something didn't happen plot-wise, there was a lot of dense symbolism or something, character development.
Internet loves to think there's symbolism in everything.
Like in the Sopranos?
No, like the onion rings and the bears and shit like that.
Right, the onion rings.
Yeah. I think that's just internet.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because he died this week, James Gandolfini. So,
wonderful actor.
Tipping a sea breeze to your memory, bro. Sad to see you go. He was funny in, he was funny in? Was the Thick of It movie, In the Loop. Remember he was the general? In the movie from The Thick of It?
Yeah.
He was very funny in that. I don't know if he ever ended up on Veep. Because I think those are supposed to technically exist in the same fictitious universe. Although, don't hold me to account on that, internet. Because I haven't actually watched a lot of Veep. Well, I mean, I say it because Anna Chlumsky is in both of them. I think she's kind of the same character in each of them.
She gets her hand chopped off by Hannibal.
I didn't watch the last few episodes.
Sorry, different show.
No, I didn't watch the last few episodes of Hannibal. You're very, by the way, Kate and her friend Jason write a weekly summary of Hannibal episodes, which we will link to from the show notes.
JasonEdwards.com.
No, don't do that. .com. I just said I was going to link it. You grew up your entire life, you've had the internet, and you still don't understand how I could just say we're going to hot link it.
I understand what it means to hot link something. I'm not dumb.
Then why
dumb.
Are you saying it's not like you're going to pause it and go write it down?
It's buzz marketing.
Okay.
It's a comedic effect.
Okay.
By the way, that name again is JasonEdwards.com. .com.
Okay.
RuPaul does it all the time.
That's true, but RuPaul does it. Sorry, he's a brand. It's not like this brand Kate. Maybe there will be. What you reading now? You're picking your book up. What are you looking for to read?
I'm reading something for work, and then I was also planning to read Jane Eyre and A Light in August, a yet-to-be-determined Hemingway novel or novella.
Wow. Surveying the English language there.
In the summer, I like to read Faulkner and Hemingway.
Oh, right. Because it's hot and you want to shoot yourself.
Yes.
Okay. I just finished all the Big Throne Gaming books. So
oh, you finished Dance with Dargons.
Like yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's done. I think I don't have to read it again for another 3 years.
Oh.
You know, because it's not going to be done. By the way, that guy is going to die. Let's just be honest. That guy's going to die before it's finished. You're the big fan, so I'm just going to, the guy is going to die before it's done. God, you know, I hope he doesn't. I don't wish death on anybody because, you know, I love humans, especially someone like that who's in this tour de force creative endeavor, you know, of a sort of genius. Don't wish it on anybody. But, you know, he's like what? He's like 65 now.
And he's been writing this series for like 15 years?
Right.
Since, like, what, 93 or something?
And you know, he doesn't strike me as a fitness nut.
He's not.
You know, you guys just got to prime yourself. You guys just got to prime yourself for an ending before you know what, you know.
I mean, all you have to do is read his descriptions of food to know that the man loves cuisine.
I don't know, but there's plenty of healthy people who love food. I'm just guessing that, like, health is not his number one. I could be completely wrong. So, George Martin, keep writing the book. Don't even bother writing me an email. Spend those 10 minutes coming up with some sort of elaborate family house history that you're going to mention for 3 lines in a book.
Do you really think that George Martin is going to care, like, 2 shits about our
absolutely
podcast?
Will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I liked Mad Men this season. I thought Pete was wonderful this season. I thought this was the tour de force Pete season. Yep. And I haven't seen a lot of people. By the way, it's tour de force I've used twice in a minute and a half. Like, I haven't seen a lot of people talking about Vincent Carthage this season. It was disappointing because I thought he was far and away the best part of the show.
I think that Pete Campbell is everybody's favorite secondary character. Like, he shows up, he does something funny, expresses himself, falls down the stairs.
Right, that was wonderful.
Or, you know, does, you know, the...
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. And then everyone's just like, God, I love Pete. But everyone is always hooked otherwise on Peggy or Dawn or...
See, here's what I like about Pete. Like, Pete is in stark contrast to basically everybody. It's like Pete and Roger are two characters who are in stark contrast to everybody else in the show. Because the two of them both know exactly who they are. Okay, now Roger knows who he is and is pretty happy with that situation.
I disagree.
Yeah, this season he got a little sadder.
I would say last season he got so many.
Well, when he was taking acid and, yeah.
Jane, yeah.
Yeah. They are more sort of aware of who they are. Like, the whole essence of the show is these identity crises and, you know, trying to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Pete Campbell has never been in doubt about who he is, and it's just been the world becoming more and more averse to his type.
Except there was that episode where he was learning to drive. You know, the scene where he's watching the girl, like, meet with the jock, and, like, he just feels, like, alone in the world. I think every character has
their
own...
Oh, he's sad. I don't think he's happy. I just think he knows who he is.
Okay.
You know, I think he knows who he is and where he's at in the world. That's which is sort of typified by the interchange he had with Bob in the last episode, where he's like, look, I may not know a lot in this world, but I know I'm never going to take on a guy like you and win, because I've already tried and I failed.
I don't mean to make you upset, but you know that Bob Benson is going to be on another show in the fall.
Yeah, they'll figure some way. They'll do something.
Okay.
And maybe he'll get horribly mangled. They'll recast him.
Yeah, maybe his foot will get cut off in a lawnmower.
Wanted, young, attractive actor of dubious sexuality who can wear tiny, tiny shorts and operate a carving knife.
And look good in an apron.
And I've been watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld web series where he goes and picks up his comedy friend. It's very funny.
Is it really?
It's very good, and it's thoughtful. And some of the episodes are really touching. The one with Michael Richards was really, really touching.
Oh, really?
This is a guy whose, you know, career is done, basically, but is still a funny and gifted guy. You know, he was like, thank you, Jerry, for standing by me, and I made some horrible mistakes, and I feel awful, and I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life, and you don't know when you can give up, you know, let that burden up. And he was, like, clearly a guy who was just felt horrible. You know, he's got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Speaking of a grain of salt, this cocktail with salt on the rim is a salty dog.
That's it?
Actually, it's just grapefruit juice
and
vodka.
I think it was cranberry in a salty dog. Sailing takes me away. Yeah.
Can we end the podcast with say?
So that'll be on the very special outtakes.
Or in the Navy.
In the Navy. Okay.
Or who wears short shorts.
No, that has nothing to do with the Navy whatsoever.
It doesn't, but it's from an episode of The Simpsons. So I think it's worth pointing out that I had a coworker come up to me and say, oh, I'm going, I saw your, and this is after Gimlet podcast posted. And she just said, you know, I've been meaning to listen or watch your drunken video.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, at least we have something. We have some promise.
I guess. That's good. And again, we welcome your feedback. So please, if there's anything that you really found distasteful or something that you would like us to do again, such as me sing Christopher Cross, just let me know. Although he doesn't have that. Right. That's Air Supply.
I know. I just felt like singing it. We're on the topic of Yacht Rock.
What's your childhood like that you developed this Yacht Rock thing?
First of all, my mom loves Christopher Cross, James Taylor, and, oh my God.
Wait, is your mom white?
Yes. She is a white woman who came of age in the 70s. So, James Taylor, Christopher Cross, Carly Simon, those are all of her favorites.
We were driving over to your place, 2 weeks ago, and we saw that sign with the minister.
Well, that was my dad's place.
Okay. It's been on my mind ever since then. Okay, so Kate, would you like to paint a word picture?
Of the sign, right. or of the journey?
Of the genre of what we're talking about. This is, paint, I'm going on a trip to Kate's childhood home. Not her childhood home, where her dad lives now. And, we pass on the side of the road. You must be familiar with these signs for like psychics.
Mm-hmm. Like very similar.
Right, that operate out of their home. It's usually like a white sign with a big red hand.
And it's say, like palm tarot, readings, yeah. Right,
psychics, divination, auspices.
555, 800, 5555, yeah.
We read the stars, we do a bird, look at where the birds fly. That's augury, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're familiar with this. So on the way out to Kate's father's house, there's a sign that looks formally identical to one of these, except instead of for like a tarot card or psychic, it's for a minister. So, but it was like, consult him, the minister, for, you know, knowing what's going to go on tomorrow and advice and lovelorn advice. And
yeah, it was like financial Reverend advice. Reverend Jacob P. Jacobson or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. It's like Reverend Jacob J. Jacobson, advice on all matters, and then it had like money, family, love, God.
And it was clear. I mean, we are not extrapolating. This was clearly of a piece with the psychic. It was clearly a guy who was a minister who was like, I am going to get a niche. This guy was a minister of some sort, of some providence, who had clearly noticed that there might be a niche in people who want a psychic reading but have some sort of moral qualms about communing with spirits and principalities of the air.
And decided to settle down in the middle of our state.
And do a brisk trade, I'm guessing. It's like that. It's a veggie burger. That's what it is.
How?
It's a veggie burger of psychics. It's like, oh, you want a burger, but you can't eat the meat. You want a psychic, but you don't want to let the devil into your house. Did I tell you about my sixth grade teacher who, with the Dungeons and Dragons and the Ouija board?
Yes.
Oh, this is a great story. So I'm in sixth grade, and this was like a pullout class for like special enrichment of some kind. And we were doing this thing on public speaking. Like, you're not giving speeches, and everybody had to give a speech. So at the end of it, once we had all done making our speeches, our teacher was going to make a speech.
Question. Mm-hmm. What did you talk about when you gave your speech?
I think it was like what my dad does or what my parents do or what I hope to do with my life or something like that.
Okay.
But when we're all done, then she comes and does this speech. This is a bunch of like sixth grade nerd boys. I think there was like three girls in the class, four girls in the class. You know, because again, horribly sexist, whatever.
You know, women aren't as smart as men.
You know, that's not at all what I'm saying, right? Like poking the bear with that one. So she gets up there and she starts giving this speech about how you can't use a Ouija board because it is of Satan. And you can't play Dungeons and Dragons. This is, by the way, and I'm dating myself, at the height of D&D mania. And this nation was convinced that that was what was going to lead our children unto ruination. It was like right before all those songs came out about, like, you know, having sex.
No. You know, okay, like, it was like that limits it down to about 1,000 years.
It was like right pre-Tipper Gore, the big moral panic was Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
So before America was terrified of Twisted Sister.
Or NWA.
Well, no, that's a little later.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay. This is
late.
Oh,
yeah, because Dee Snider testified at the, yeah.
And Frank Zappa. But you know, before that, it was just Dragons. And she's given this speech. And this, by the way, I grew up in a very lefty, permissive college town. So this was startling. This was not a viewpoint that I in fifth grade had ever been, like literally had ever encountered in my life. That the devil was a real presence in the world that would come into my house through things that I bought or used.
You never thought about the devil in that context?
No.
Really?
Not when I was that age. I just thought he was like the guy on the armor potted meat can. Or whatever it is, red devil potted meat, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't very religious. I was like raised Catholic a little bit, but not much.
I'd say my dad's a minister. I don't think I was raised particularly religiously because I never felt particularly religious or like devoted, but I understood the mythos and knew the tales, and the very idea of Satan or the devil terrified me.
Yeah, see, to me it was just something like vampires or a zombie. Like, it was just on that same plane.
Oh.
There's devils and the zombies and the mist or werewolves. Okay. I'm not religious. Neither really am I. You don't want to say that. I'm going to edit that out because then your dad's going to listen. And he's going to kill you. But no. So she gives this speech about don't burn when you're burning your D&D. You can't burn it in the house because Satan will get in the house. Apparently, you know. Which, you know, even I at 11 years old would be like, so if you burn him out in the yard,
Satan will be out in the yard.
Right? Satan can't get through a door. He can survive the flames of the book, but he can't get through a door.
Did she say anything about the Ouija board? Like,
oh,
how
yeah,
you
don't
dispose...
use Ouija boards.
No. I mean, like, do you burn the Ouija board outside too?
I think it was all of it. Just put it all in a big bonfire of the vanities, as it were.
Because I've always heard that you're never supposed to destroy a Ouija board.
You realize Ouija was invented by like Parker Brothers, right?
No, I know.
It's not like an actual thing. It doesn't
No, I know,
come from,
but it's
you know.
Like one of those like urban myths, like urban legends. Like don't get rid of your like Ouija board. You just give it away.
That's a fruitcake.
Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
You know, it's all just the ideomotor effect.
I know. I'm just saying. Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
Okay. Why? I'm creeped out about like actual things. What do I need something that doesn't exist to be creeped out by? Same thing with me and roller coasters.
It's like Pretty Pretty Princess for goths.
No, it is not like for goths, really. But goths can be pretty, pretty princesses. I don't need anything else to be scared by. It's like roller coasters. The whole point of a roller coaster is like, oh, I'm going to die. It's exciting. I know I'm going to die. I'm aware every single second of every day of my imminent demise. I don't need it thrown in my face by some tiny little coal car masquerading as a ride or a plastic log going down a flume.
Is this why you didn't get on the tilt-a-whirl at the fair?
I did get on the tilt-a-whirl.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just surprised, what my point being is that I'm surprised you get on any ride at all, if that's how you feel.
Yeah, you know what? We were new friends at the time, and
I didn't
want you to
think I was more of a worse than I was. We were not new friends. We were like 3 months friends.
That's new. I realize that's like a significant portion of your life, but that's like, that's a fart in my life.
Your farts take 3 months?
No,
you
but relative
thing.
To my entire... So how's the sea breeze? Wow, you killed off that sea breeze. You want to get yourself another one?
I was drinking it at the same level you were.
Yeah, but I was talking. We need to talk more. Bring a story to the table. Still liking the sea breeze?
So we're back with our second round.
Yes.
Still
a delicious beverage.
Still delicious. However, I made it with the appropriate proportions this time, and it's even lovelier.
It's very much a refreshing beverage.
Some would even say it's a cold, refreshing drink.
So you know how some people can see the flicker in incandescent light bulbs?
No.
You've never heard of anybody who can see the flicker and they get headaches from seeing the flicker in certain light bulbs.
You mean like in the wire of the light bulb inside?
But it's because voltage in your wall comes through at roughly 60 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So there's... The light, these are not incandescent in here. These are all CF right now, compact fluorescent bulbs now. But the old incandescent bulbs had a flicker that some people just drove them nuts when they looked at it because they could see, you know, anything below about 60 hertz, there's a chance people can see a difference in.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm sitting here the other day, and this story is building to something. So I'm sitting here the other day underneath these light bulbs here, and these are all compact fluorescent, I feel reasonably certain. I don't know. Anyhow, so I'm sitting here with these bulbs, and I'm like, I can hear these bulbs. I can hear these bulbs making it. I can hear the light bulbs making it. So then mm-hmm. I think, do I actually hear the bulbs, or am I going mad? And then I'm like, you know, if I was going mad, I would still just think it was the bulbs.
No, that depends. Did you hear the beating of his hideous heart?
No, I did not, and he didn't have a big, roomy eye. No, but I'm serious. Like, do you ever do something like that? Like, you'll start hearing something or see something, and you're like, am I going mad? Like, I did, like, dude, that you don't know whether or not you're actually losing your damn mind.
I have read that only crazy people think they're not crazy. So if you think that you're like, if you're like, whoa, that's a crazy thought, I shouldn't think that, then you're probably okay.
That doesn't make
okay.
any sense to me. That seems to me like if you die in a dream, then you're going to die in real life.
Are you?
No, that's bull.
I mean, I've died in plenty of dreams,
yeah.
So...
You've died in my dreams, too.
But that's not, like, if it's your dream, only you matter.
It seems very urban legend-y to me. Anyhow.
I feel like crazy people tend to be more self-aware than...
I think crazy people are just crazy. I'll tell you this, don't argue with a smart, crazy person, because you're just going to make it worse if they're smarter than you. That is one thing I have learned from life. If somebody smart and crazy, just stay away.
Did you go see Hannibal and the Pokey or something?
No.
Like, what?
No. But you know what I'm saying? Like, because you're just going to make it worse. You're gonna think that you can fix it, like if they're sad or something.
I've never met a smart, crazy person.
No, you met a lot of smart, crazy people. I'm just saying, you're going to think that you can make things better. You're going to think that, and then they're just going to be like, you know, it's going to be like Hannibal, and then next thing you know,
you're in a jail cell.
Migs is, you know, tossing his business over.
Oh.
And then Migs has
that
no
wasn't, top. No, that wasn't Clarice's fault, though. She was just walking down to see Hannibal, and then that happened. I'm literally on the first page of a lot of things.
You know what? If you don't like after the first page, let it go. You're not in college anymore. You got no obligation to read.
Reading is such a investment
mm-hmm.
that you can't just read the first page and then be like, oh, I'm done or I'm good. Like, you have to keep reading.
Life is short. I mean, it's like an understood convention that you got to at least put some shit up front. You know, it's like if you go to a bar... and a guy is all smelly and gross, you're not like, well, maybe he has a heart of gold. You're going to be like, he didn't try when he came out to the bar. And it's the same thing like at the first page of a book. If they didn't even try on the first page of the book, it's like, he's not interested. He doesn't want me.
I haven't even finished the first. I would like to read the first chapter before making that decision.
It's very generous of you.
Do you know how many books I've started that have been had really, really weird first pages or first chapters or first anything, and they turned out to be wonderful?
But you're way more forgiving than I am, then.
Honestly, the first chapter of Rebecca, I thought was like, what the shit is going on here?
Yeah, but it intrigued you. It
well, no,
like,
it did not it didn't intrigue me. I was like, wow, this is something strange. And then I kept reading, and it turned out to be one of my favorite books of all time.
It is, I'm given to understand it is your favorite book, period.
Yes.
Right?
Same with Brave New World. I was reading the first chapter of Brave New World, and I was like, oh my God, this is dry. I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then I got a few chapters in, and I was like, oh, I get it. And it turned out to be a very rewarding experience.
I like things that can hold your interest even though you're like, I don't know what the hell is going on.
And then I was reading the first chapter of 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, wow.
Right. I mean, you read it, and yeah.
Yes, I've read 50 Shades of Grey. I only read the first chapter of
the sequel.
Did
your mom give you this?
No.
Did your mom give you porn? Your mom already gave you that other
thing. She's given me porn before, and it was horrendous, and I think we all recognize that. Maybe I can read a passage on a later podcast.
So what? Let me ask you this. So what was worse? The fact that your mom gave you this pornography book. And it's like, you know, it's one of these, like, erotic thriller fiction.
All right, no. To clarify, it is a historical romance. That involves
like
time travel. It involves time travel. And there are some graphic... I mean, like most romance novels, there are some graphic sex scenes in the sense that, you know, his...
Yeah, we get the idea.
His rigid member penetrates her lady garden or whatever. But it was just terrible. And it was also like 800 pages.
Sad thing was, it was just... they meant her garden club that he was a member of. It was a pure misunderstanding.
It with me to the beach and was determined to finish it, and it was terrible.
So my question is this.
Yes.
What was more problematic? That your mother gave you what amounted to internet fanfic of some kind,
mm-hmm.
This sort of porny book,
mm-hmm.
or that your mother found it erotic to begin with?
She never said that she found it erotic. She thought that it was very romantic and thrilling.
That's old people talk for erotic.
I mean, you know, my mom is a lovely person. Mm-hmm. She is her own being, and what suits her, and what suits me, suits me.
Have you guys actually, did you talk to her about the book after she gave it to
I
you?
I did. I after
what
I read it.
What is the name of the, by the way, what is the name of this book in this book?
It Shall Remain Nameless.
No.
I talked to her and I was like, hey, I read that book that you gave me. And she's like, what did you think? Oh my gosh, I thought it was great. And I was like, really? Because I thought it was terrible. It was ham-fisted. It made the romance between the characters didn't really exist. There is one part in this book that he beats her.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just thought problematic in a variety of ways. If she didn't think it was sexy, she accepts it later on. And I was just like, wow, this is
Yeah, but you like
something.
The throne gaming, and there's a lot of horrible violence.
But it doesn't sell itself as a romance novel. It sells itself as an epic fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between, oh, so-and-so and this other guy are, you know, they're going to come together and they're going to find this epic romance, but he beats her and it's mm-hmm. okay, versus a medieval-ish kind of fantasy novel where Ramsay Snow plays his future wife.
Yeah, that's not cool. Wait, did he do that?
No, but I'm just, something he would do.
I don't think
Let's
he's
be
done
real.
That.
He
would.
Gonna.
He's going to get that girl back. What was her? Jane Poole? Yeah,
Jane
he's going to
yeah.
get her back. Because he loves the flan.
He does. Did I tell you I had a dream about Ramsay?
About Ramsay Bolton?
Yeah.
You got problems if you haven't dreamed. Wait, but now, okay, was this before he was on the TV show? Or was this?
After the TV show. And it was weird.
So you had,
it was like...
you had a face in your dream.
Yes.
By the way, the Ramsay on the TV show looks nothing like he looked in my brain.
No, he doesn't. But in the dream, he was stalking my house because it was being landscaped.
Let's stop for a second. This is a character, by the way, in the show, and I recognize not everybody likes the throne gaming because, you know, let's be honest, it's incredibly nerdy, and you want to take a shit after you do it and go punch the wall. However, there's a character in these books who is he's a sadist.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And a little odd. And he likes taking people's skin off.
Mm-hmm.
So there. So tell us about the erotic dream that you had about this sadist.
It was not erotic at all. It was very strange. It was like I was in my house, which was a fictionalized version of my childhood house, and we're having repairs done. So there were holes in the walls because, like, new walls were being put up. And there was this guy watching us, and finally I confronted him about it. Just like me and my best guy friend, I guess, because it wasn't anybody in my family. And we confront him about it, and he's like, yeah, you're right. And then we went purse shopping.
You went purse shopping with Ramsay Bolton?
Yes.
Was he advising you on the qualities of various skin leather?
Yes. I picked out an Hermes.
You should use mink oil.
I picked out an Hermes. And I was like, this is too expensive. And he's like, no, but it's worth it, girl. Like, I was browsing the discount racks, and he's just like, no, That's the last thing I can remember out the dream is like we were N8. Why are you looking at me like
Because last week you talked about your sexy dreams about Prince, which is much better,
The
much
people
more
do not know
acceptable.
about that.
Which is much more, yeah, that was part of the thing that we edited out. But I think that's much more acceptable. I think plenty of people, I think if I were a girl or gay, I would be all about having sexy dreams about Prince because he's remarkably
Okay.
talented and his work deals with, being sexy. And, a lot of those songs are like written, they're like come on songs. Like Kiss is like the best come on song ever.
I believe in that podcast, I specified that I'd only had one sexy dream about Prince. Half the time, he just shows up and helps me pick out curtains or something.
Oh, right.
Like,
Yeah, we discussed that. Right. Yeah, the deal is, because that part I edited out, she has a lot of dreams about Prince and that they're not sexy. And I think, and again, I think Prince would be offended at the low percentage of your dreams in which he appears and yet they are not sexy
he's a
dreams.
pretty regular figure in my dreams. It's very strange, but whenever he shows up, it's like he's advising me on what kind of spices to put in chicken,
Well, he does know chicken.
or like what looks good in my hair, but in a totally platonic way. It's very and like helps me pick out furniture. It's very strange.
Did he ask you if you watch Dynasty? Because I don't think he cares.
I don't think he
Okay.
does. You just need to act your age, not your
Right.
shoe size.
My point is, I think legitimately Prince Rogers Nelson would be bothered by the fact that
I
he
don't.
is in a lot of your dreams and yet so few of them are sexy.
I disagree because he's gone super religious lately. He goes door to door with Jehovah's
I
Witnesses.
know, but his religious, it's like Al Green, who is now firmly on the religion end. But by the way, they're like functionally in my head the same artist. Because seriously, here's why. This you think this is goofy, but like the line between singing a song about Jesus and singing a song about fucking abroad is very narrow for both of them. Like you listen, there's like Al Green records where like he is doing a song about Jesus in the demos, and then like it becomes a song about a chick. Or vice versa. It just like and Prince is the same way. It's and it's something I admire about him because I think that the numinous impulse comes from one of those ineffable, inexplicable places inside of us, and it that's it that's what they're getting at. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Kind of.
You hate it when I talk about religion.
A little bit because you're very demeaning.
I don't think I'm demeaning. I think I was saying that there's something inside all of us that has the numinous impulse.
In polite conversations, it's not, you're not supposed to
Yeah,
talk
it's like
about
Coke and
religion
Pepsi
or
or money.
politics or, yeah.
Right. What does Dream Prince tell you to do with your hair?
Oh,
Is he like layers? Do you want bangs?
no, I think we are like in a Target picking out accessories from like the dollar
The
bin
Philippe
or
Starck
whatever.
collection.
And I was just like, do you think this is cute? And he was like, no, you can really, like, you're a summer, you
Was he
can
in the
pull off
assless chaps?
this.
Do they sell Prince assless chaps at Target?
No,
Okay.
unfortunately. I think he was just like in all black, just like being
I think
Prince.
you mean all very deep purple.
No, he was actually in all black.
Okay. Did he have like a giant foam guitar?
I wish.
Okay. Continue. I love Prince,
Just.
by the way. I Kate and I are probably roughly comparable in our enjoyment of Prince.
My point is that he shows up in my dreams and does very innocuous things. Like, honestly, I could go to bed tonight and I'd wake up and he'd be helping me, like, season my shrimp or something in the kitchen. Being like, girl, you need some oregano.
Dig, if you will, a picture, you and I seasoning a shrimp.
Exactly. Something like that. Like, it's very innocent. It's very strange.
I miss Prince. He's retired like six times now.
No, he's still active, except now he's not going to sing any of his sexy music anymore.
Oh, really? Even Al Green went back on that. Al Green sings like the old sexy stuff now too. I mean, he
I
doesn't do
mean,
it in church, but.
he is an active Jehovah's Witness. He goes around to people's doors. Can you imagine what it'd be like if someone knocked on your door and you're like, God damn it, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses? And you walked over and you peeked out the peephole and it was Prince?
I think my only problem would be is if Prince showed up and he tried to go in through the outdoor. The outdoor.
Anyway.
We're looking for recurring features. If there's any parts of the show that you've enjoyed, or any parts of the show that, dear God, made you not want to subscribe, or if you decided not to subscribe and just happened to be being inflicted with this podcast by an office mate or automobile mate, and want to write us a note and telling us what never to do again, in your ears.
Or if you have a cocktail to suggest.
Yes, or if you have a cocktail that you would like us to drink, any and all interaction with you is welcome at pntcast@gmail.com, on our website at pntcast.wordpress.com, or on Twitter with the handle
At PNTcast.
Thank you very much. So, This has been Prefer Not To, our Sea Breeze episode. I am Josh.
I'm Kate.
And we look forward to spending some time with you again in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.